Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you will be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Got a lot of great feedback from our first message in this series, from some first-time guests, from somebody who'd been here just a few times, shared a great testimony, said that she had lost her adult son 2 years ago. And she said, my mind has been really, really tough for me to get past thoughts and to get through the grief. But she said, last Sunday really helped me put things in perspective and remember that God is fighting with me and fighting for me, and that I can take control of what's going on in my mind, and I can remember the good things, amen, and press towards greater times. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, while you're turning there, let me just share a little something with you. Late one night, a preacher was making his weary way home. As he traveled a hilly and curvy country road, he overtook a car. The car was slow moving and was weaving from one side of the road to the other in the most disturbing manner. Being familiar with most residents of the area, the pastor recognized the car as belonging to a member of his congregation. He thought, oh no, Joe has fallen off the wagon again. The way that car is weaving, he must really be plastered. I better pull up beside him and get him to stop before he hurts himself. Putting thought to action, the preacher pulled alongside Joe's car just in time for the next swerve for Joe to run him off the road, down over the shoulder, down a steep embankment. The preacher's car rolled over twice and came to rest up against a large pine tree. Not completely senseless to the world, Joe stopped his car, staggered back to a point above the preacher's car. Fortunately, the preacher was wearing his seatbelt, and relatively slow speed prevented any injury. When Joe saw someone struggling out of the wrecked car, he yelled, hey, are you all right? The preacher yelled, yep, I'm just a little shaken up. Joe responded, my God, preacher, is that you? Yes, Joe, it's me, and I can't believe you're drunk again and you ran me off the road. Well, are you okay, preacher? Yes, Joe, fortunately the Lord was riding with me. To which Joe replied, well, you better let him ride with me. The way you drive, you're going to kill him and you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Or one way that we would say that exalteth it about what we know about God, what we know to be true in his word, and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. This is the second part, the second installment of Mind Monster. Just lay your hand on your head and tell them, free my mind in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The struggle is very real for many believers. And the greatest battle we will ever fight is not on our job, it's not in our families, it's not in our money, it's not at our school, it's not against an ex-spouse, it's not against in-laws, not against a drug addiction or dependency. The greatest battle we will ever fight is in every one of those places, because wherever you are is the greatest battle that you will ever fight, because the greatest battle we will ever engage in is the battle between our ears. Where we are, our mind is. And where we allow our mind to go and what we allow to take residence or root in our mind begins to shape our future, begins to shape how we deal with the world, how we deal with things that come against us, the enemy, or perhaps not even the enemy, just self. And so many believers struggle when they let their mind wander, and it creates conflict, and they continue to feed their mind garbage from surrounding sources. Can I tell you, it's a full-time job to keep the right things in your mind in it and the wrong things out of it. You can't even watch commercials now without innuendo. You can't even watch commercials now without profane talk and vain talk and babbling talk and negative talk. You can't watch a talk show because it's somebody's personal belief or philosophy about the world around them, and they're not reporting the news, they're reporting their news. And you can't listen to a lot of music now because music now is, again, trying to shape the way you think about the world that you live in, shape how you react to certain things. And, man, I'm a South Texas boy, and I like me some country music, but there's only so much you can hear about your dog dying and getting cheated on and drinking your blues away and all of those things. And, you know, when you play country music backwards, it's a really exciting thing. You got your marriage back, your dog's back alive, your job's good. But you can't listen to music. You can't go to movies. I don't know how many times Bishop's gone to a movie for me to say, how'd you like that movie? He said, it's too political. He said, I'm going to be entertained, not to have somebody's view try to change my viewpoint. And it's all around us, trying to get us to think a certain way. And then when we don't think their way, we are labeled as something totally different. We are labeled by the way we think because it doesn't match the way they think. But I've got news for the world. It's not me thinking those thoughts. It's the mind of Christ in me. That when I got saved, I took on a new nature. Not only is the blood that is pulsating through my veins the blood of Jesus Christ, but now I have the mind of Jesus Christ. The way I talk is different. What I talk about, the desire and the things that I desire now has changed all because of this man named Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, just to recap just a little from last session, Jesus wants to be your Savior. And we're here to preach Jesus and Him crucified. So if you don't know Jesus, you can have a real relationship with Him. And you can go to a real place called heaven. But when I got saved back in July of 1999, that was for that day and for my eternity. But since July of 1999, every day I've been making Him not only my Savior, but my Lord. And the way that I make Jesus my Lord is to start thinking like Jesus thinks. I shared at the end of our last session that when people say to you, I've never seen you stronger in your faith than you are today, or I've never seen you stronger in the things of God than you are today, what they're really saying is this, and I love this, you've never looked more like Jesus than right now. I hope that I am a greater representation of Jesus at 38 than I was at 28. I hope that I'm a better representation of Jesus in October than I was in September, because if I look the same as I did 10 years ago, I have not grown. And if I have not grown, it means that I have not made my mind think the thoughts that have been birthed in the Word of God through Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, we started last session talking about be strong and of good courage, strength of mind, a focus of mind, being courageous. Verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observest to do according to all the law. Strength of mind and good courage are a mindset. We've got to quit blaming everybody else for our problems. It's not the generation that came before me that dumped these problems in my lap. It's not the past administration, the current administration, the next administration for the reasons that I'm thinking what I'm thinking. I'm thinking what I'm thinking, or you're thinking what you're thinking, because you have not taken captive of your mind, and your mind has run away with you, and your mind is now creating a world that you don't want to live in. But when we have the mind of Christ, it affects what I say, and what I say is what I'm eventually going to see. And so if I want to see something different, I'm going to have to say something different, and if I'm to say something different, I'm going to have to fix what's going on in my mind, which means sometimes I've got to limit my interaction with faithless people and worldly people. Sometimes I've got to turn off CNN, Fox News, and TBN, and I've got to get alone with Jesus and my Word so that I can get my mind right. Have you ever been so off that you couldn't be around people and you said, I just need to be by myself? What we're really saying is I can't trust me around you until I get my mind right, because I'm going to say something, I'm going to do something that I know is going to betray who God has called me to be. So excuse me while I go to my secret place of thunder and I get prayed up, praised up, worshiped up, and in the Word to get my mind right. I've been so mad at my kids, I had to send them away before I disciplined them. You ever been that mad at your kids? Because I couldn't stop at just one spanking. Because the water hose, come on now, I know we don't do that no longer. Maybe we should. The switches weren't big, and I had to send them away so I could get my mind right before I disciplined them, before I did something that I was going to regret doing. Regret is birthed in the place when our mind is not right. And some of us are living in regret as it relates to our past. I wish I had done it different over here. And we are living in the past because regret has taken over my mind. And so instead of living in the great now that God has called us to, we are living in yesterday. Instead of planning for the great tomorrow that God has called us to, we are living in yesteryear. But for this house, we've got to get our mind right, strength of mind, central focus, courageous, so that we can be what God has called us to be. He said, you got to be strong, you got to be courageous, so that you mayest observe to do. What you do is determined by a mindset. You cannot call it an accident or a mistake after the first time. It becomes a habit, it becomes a choice that you think about, and nobody commits adultery on accident. You didn't go to the hotel and swipe your card on accident. You didn't get a second phone number on accident. You don't have a private Snapchat that nobody knows about on accident. And so once you do that, you can't say, well, I didn't know what I was doing. You knew exactly what you were doing. And the Bible says a just man can fall 7 times and get up. But let me tell you something. Don't keep falling in the same hole over and over and over again. I might fall in that hole on Monday, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to make a mental note. The last time I made this decision, it took me far away from God. The last time I made this decision, it put me 6 months behind God's timing for my life. And so I'm going to learn to avoid that. The next time I make a mistake, it's going to be a brand new mistake to Brandon, one he's never made before. I've got to get my mind right. And for us to have a strength of mind and a courageous mind, it says it will lead us to doing what the Word of God says to do, to observe, to do according to all that the law, all the Word of God says, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left. The greatest thing in life for your faith is focus. Focused faith will always bring the promise. Focused faith over a time. Now listen, you can't be focused for 2 days. You're going to have to be focused for a lifetime. Peter was focused for 5 minutes and walked on water, did something that no one else had ever done. But when his focus was broke, he ended up in a lesser state or a worse state than when he was in the boat, all because, and let me tell you something, the last thing you want to do is to let your faith get you out on water and then for you to break focus and you start drowning when you could have stayed in the boat and never had to go through that. Can I talk to somebody today and tell you, quit worrying about what the person on the left of you is doing. Quit worrying about the success of the person on the right. Quit comparing yourself to somebody. Don't compare yourself to somebody's social media highlight reel and realize, listen, I'm not going to compare my bad day with their best day and realize that they're fighting a fight of faith just like I'm fighting. And it doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm going to get a singleness of mind. I'm going to focus my faith so that when I'm walking, I can do everything that God has called me to do. And the monsters in my mind cannot take up residence because I'm so focused in my faith. So what you do is determined by your mindset. It says, turn not to the left or right. Turning not is a focus and a mindset. When we talk about mindset, a mindset is not determined by anybody else but you. Have you ever met somebody before you met their family? And then you met their crazy family and you're like, how did this person come from those people? It's because that person said, it doesn't matter where I come from. It doesn't matter the environment that I was raised in. I can focus my faith and I can get out of where I was born. I can listen, I might have been dealt the wrong hand or a bad hand, or I might have been wrong, born on the wrong side of the tracks, but I can pick myself up in faith and focus it and make sure that I become everything that God wants me to be. On the flip side of the coin, I've met some knucklehead people that when I met their parents, I can't believe the knucklehead came out of great parents. All because your parents can't choose your mindset. They can position you and continue to posture you in the things of God from the time that you are 0 to 18 years of age, but they can't choose Jesus for you, but they can continually put you in the house to where you choose Jesus before you're 18. And so the excuse of where you've come from no longer holds weight and holds water, because it is our focus. It is what our mind thinks about and where we point that faith. Then it says that you will have prosperity in every area of your life if you're strong, if you're courageous, if you do everything the Word of God says, if you have focus and you don't turn to the right or to the left. It says you will prosper in every area of your life, which means if Brandon is not prospering in 100% of his life, that somewhere in my mind I've not given God lordship. It's amazing how quick we want Jesus to heal us, but we don't want to mess in with our money. It's amazing how we want Jesus to bless our children, yet we're still shacking up with their daddy. I told you I was going to go here. I gave you a week to get prepared to wear your steel-toed boots. I'm going to preach the truth today. I put it on social media this past week. I don't believe in living boyfriends or living girlfriends. I don't believe that just because you've had sex, well, we've already broken the law, let's just continue. I don't believe just because you've had kids with somebody that you should jump in the bed continually with them and live with them. I just don't believe that God can bless that mess. And you say, well, I'm going to church. I'm glad you're coming to church. And I tithe. I'm glad you're tithing. But just because 50% of your mind is set on Christ, I need to know where's the other 50%. Because the Bible says a double-minded person is unstable in is unstable in everything that they're doing. And so sometimes the mind monster is not a bunch of evil things coming at you. Sometimes you're just splitting your time with God and the adversary, and you've got one angel on this shoulder and you've got a demon on this shoulder, and you're praising God on Sunday and you're shacking up Monday through Saturday, and you think that God's going, and you come to the altar, God, I need a new job, and God's saying, I need you to get you a house or an apartment by yourself, and once you do all of that, I can bless you. But God refuses to bless a mess, meaning this, that if you feel like you've been blessed while you've been living in sin, you ain't been blessed. It's just happenstance. It's just coincidence. It's just the rain that has fallen on the just. I knew I wasn't going to get shouted down, right? All the married folk, you should be applauding right now, because we walked an aisle. We stood before God. We stood before our relatives. We stood before a justice of the peace and said, I know I'm filled with all kinds of shortcomings. I know the liabilities you have, but still I choose to love you. I choose to be with you. I take it as an affront that you want to enjoy the same type of blessing that I enjoy when I'm sold out and committed to one woman under God. I'm offended. You say, Pastor, I'm offended by this preaching. I'm offended that you expect the same blessing from a God that said you cannot fornicate. This ain't gonna be good for the podcast. Maybe we'll have Tyler edit this part out. You can't fornicate and expect the windows of blessing to stay open. You know all that stuff I said about God loves a cheerful giver? Oh, you can give cheerfully all you want, but if you out there hopping in the sack that somebody you ain't married to, listen, you can't receive any good thing from the Lord. The Bible says a double-minded person is unstable, and let not that person think they can get anything from the Lord. You say, Pastor, you're hurting my feeling. No, it's called conviction. It's the Spirit of God that is calling you to a higher standard. I'm not like the bunch that runs in L.A. I'm a preacher of S.A., not a preacher of L.A., and that's all right. I'm going to stand for holiness. I'm going to stand for godliness. I'm going to stand for the Word of God, and if that makes me old-fashioned, I'll just be old-fashioned. If that don't make me cool, then I'm not going to be cool. If that gets me kicked off Christian television, that gets me, I'm not going to be wife-swapping. I'm not going to be divorcing. I'm not going to be doing none of that mess. Why? Because I've got to keep my mind right, because I got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old in my house that I've got to teach them how to live in the 21st century world. And let the church say. So let me just clear up the emails. Well, Pastor, what do you expect me to do? Move out today. Move back in with your mama. Move in with your sister. Move in with your auntie. Go down to the Motel 6. Go to the Hampton Inn. Find you a place, because I'd rather live in an apartment under an open window of heaven than laying in the bed of iniquity to somebody I'm not married to in the penthouse. I didn't know we were going to go all this place. But we've got to get our mind right. We're raising kids. I've got a 15-year-old. And the thing that scares me about a 15-year-old is I know how a 15-year-old boy thinks. It's not a matter of if he thinks it. It's when he thinks it. I've got a 13-year-old girl that has 14 and 15-year-old boys trying to text her. I don't like that, because I know what a 15-year-old boy thinks. And so I've got to take their phones away, and I go through them. It's not an invasion of privacy. I brought them into this world. I own them. I own their phones. I own their computers. Why? Because I've got my mind right, and I'm not going to let the devil take their mind. That's why you see Jaden up here. That's why you see every time the doors are open, my kids are at youth church. Well, Pastor, I'd like to take them, but they got volleyball tournaments. I hope that works out for you when they're 25. But as for me and my house, volleyball comes second to Jesus. Basketball comes second to Jesus. Trips come second to Jesus. Get your mind right. I know it's not what they were meaning in their song back in the 90s, but get your mind right and the rest will follow. When you have an opening of your mind to the things of God. Come on, Joshua. You're a different generation. Joshua, you expect to go to the promised land? You're going to have to think different. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let's go to verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I just built a house. Now, when I walked through that house, I heard Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard. I heard mariachi music. I heard Tejano music. But there was one dude that was laying tile that every time I came in there, it was Jesus culture. It was Bethel. And I thought, God, you sent the right tile layers to this house. Because while everybody is meditating on something else, you've got one tile layer that's literally preparing the floor of my house. And they're singing Spirit Break Out. And they're singing every Christian song that is famous in 2019. And he's meditating on the word. And I'm walking in there and I'm mad at this sub and this sub and this sub because they're not working quite fast enough. But when my mind would hear that music, my flesh would bow down and my spirit would elevate and my spirit would take over. And what I was mad about, I was no longer mad about, because my mind shifted. Your mind will shift when you meditate on the right things. That's why pornography is such a bad thing. You see the image and you keep seeing the image over and over, even after you close out the website or turn off your phone, and you meditate on that thing until it destroys you, your marriage, and everything connected to you. But I'm here to tell you, I serve a God that is greater than the spirit of lust and pornography. I serve a God that is greater than the spirit of anarchy and division and chaos and craziness. And if you can get your mind meditating on the things of God, if you can worship when you don't want to worship, if you can praise when you don't want to praise, you will possess the promised land, because God did not take perfect people into the promised land. God took people that were right in their mind, directed towards faith in God. Get your mind right and the rest will follow. Give me just a couple more minutes. Therein day and night meditate, so you can observe to do. There it is again, all that is written therein, that thou make thy way prosperous and you will have good success. Meditating on the word is vitally important to lordship. Prosperity and success both depend on your mind and not your heart. Can I tell you, the Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked above all who can know it. And so I'm here to tell you, you need to be more concerned about where your mind is focused than your heart and the passions of your life. Let me tell you something. I know they're well-meaning, but anybody that tells you to follow your passion is wrong. Passion is what got David in Bathsheba's bed. Passion is what got Samson's hair cut off when he could not resist Delilah and two other Philistine women. Can I encourage you? Passion is not going to get you closer to God. Passion is not going to get you to the place that God has called you to, which is destiny and destination. But your mind focus saying, God, I'm not going to let anything Monday through Saturday rip my attention off of your word, your face, and your voice. If you're looking at me, I'm looking at you. If you're speaking to me, I'm listening and I'm talking back to you. If you're not speaking and you're just pointing, I'm looking at your hand on which direction I'm supposed to go. American Idol and The Voice just gotten too much. I loved American Idol when it first came out, but now everybody's got a singing show and none of them are producing the superstars that American Idol did in its first 6 or 8 years. But I remember when they would stand in front of Paula and Simon Cowell and Randy. They say, why should you be the next American Idol? They would say stupid stuff like, because I want it so bad. Because it's something I've lived for. Since I was a little girl, I've watched this show, and I just want it so bad. Why do you think God should bless you? Because I want it so bad. I'm here every Sunday. I serve. I do this. I do this. Wanting something so bad has never gotten you anything. Actually, wanting something bad will cause you to get things you shouldn't have. So wanting something so I'm so passionate about. I'm just passionate about music. And because I'm passionate about music, I want the $1 million contract. And I wish somebody would say, I'm going to win American Idol because I'm the best singer you've ever heard. Because I've been honing and practicing my craft while everybody was out doing God knows what. I took singing lessons for 5 days a week for 52 weeks a year for 10 years. I have been practicing for this moment. I am the best you've ever heard. Forget Jennifer Hudson. Forget Kelly Clarkson. I'm the best. But instead they say, because I want it so bad. You're going to get the wrong thing. I know people that have wanted to be married so bad. And they married bad. Just slow your roll. Here's three things you need to see. Do they come to church? When they're at church, do they worship? Now. I'm not talking about in the building. I'm talking about hands uplifted. Every once in a while, an ugly cry. Come into an altar. Start shouting so loud that we got to have the ushers take them to the back room. I'm talking about real worship. Come to church, real worship. Here's another thing. When the offering bucket's being passed, look at them. Are they putting anything in there? Is it a blank envelope or is there something really in there? And then look at their Bible. Does it have dog-eared pages? Does it have things underlined, highlighted? Does it have promises they got? If they can't be 4 for 4, need not apply. Well, I want them so bad. Okay. You're going to get it. You're going to get it so bad. You're going to get your heart broken. They're going to take half of everything you got. Or you can get on God's time and say, I'm going to get my mind right. And when my mind is right, man, I love these new cameras. It makes me look so thin up here. Does it look like that over there? Look at that. All right, from now on. Sidebar, from now on, the world can only see me through these. These cameras are called Black Magic cameras. Now I know why they're called magic. Look at this, y'all. Holy smokes. Holy smokes. There's a woman I know. She said, man, I was on TV. She said, she's probably, I don't know, 400 pounds. And she said, you know, the camera adds 10 pounds, to which somebody replied, how many cameras were on you? Sidebar. Get your mind right. See, my mind, I lost focus, see? And I lost. Get your mind right. Praise team, come. Praise team, come. Get your mind right. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. Be strong, courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. We don't operate in fear, worry, because we know God is always with us. Check this out in verse 10. Joshua commanded the officers, saying to the people, remember the people have been wandering around in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. 40 years they've been wandering around in circles. 40 years, and this is what the Bible says. Joshua, tell them to get ready. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare yourself victuals for in 3 days. Check this out. Joshua told the people, get yourself ready, for in 72 hours, 3 days, we're going to the promised land that God has prepared for us. It took them 3 days to prepare physically. But get this, it took them 40 years to prepare mentally. Because God said, I can't take you to a place that you're not mentally ready for, or you will turn the place of promise into the place of wilderness. Because you turned the place of wilderness into the place of Egypt. You just shifted where you were a slave. You just shifted your bondage. Okay, you're not addicted to crack anymore, but now you're addicted to speed. You traded cigarettes for alcohol. And so we got a lot of people that physically, oh, I'm ready. And God says, physically you are ready. But mentally, I can't take you to a place that you're not mentally, that your mind is not prepared. When you're in school, you can't go to the next grade until they feel that you have learned enough. Otherwise, they do what? They hold you back. And then your mom tells you that you get to go to super kindergarten. You get to go to 4.5 grade. Stand on your feet. Get your mind right. I know we've joked, we've laughed, but can I talk to somebody today and tell you this, that it's been a long 40 years for somebody. And maybe not 40 years, maybe it's been 3 years. But God's just been waiting. Man, if they ever get their mind right, I'm going to take them in. If they ever can deal with the monsters, I'm going to take them over. I'm going to get them to the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get them to the greatest place of favor, of blessing that they have ever experienced, but I've got to get their mind right. And God is waiting for our mind to snap into focus and our faith to snap into focus. And when it does, God's saying, get ready, because in 3 days. And why didn't God take them immediately? Because they had to get all of their children, all of their house, all of their tents packed up. And you got 1.5 million people that God was waiting for all of them to get their mind right. And when they got their mind right, guess what happened? The Jordan River. There's somebody today, I'm done in 30 seconds. Somebody today has been beating on the door. Open, 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 open. When your mind gets right, the door flings open. Some of us have been waiting on the banks of the Jordan. Come on, split, split. I'm ready to go to the promised land. It's not going to split until you get your mind right. Your mind, focus. Monsters, you can't stay here. Doubt, you can't stay here. Worry, you can't stay here. Fear, you can't stay here. Past, you can't stay here. None of that matters. What matters now is this, that I've got my mind focused. Everything else that I've said today comes down to mindset. Are you willing to think like Jesus? Because when you think like Jesus, everything changes. When I think like Jesus, I don't look at sickness like Brandon used to. I look at it like Jesus. Now I've got a place for God to show himself strong on my behalf. I don't look at my weakness like I used to. I look at my weakness as a place where God can be made strong because I have the mind of Christ. For those of you in this altar today, mindset. Man, a lot of young people, I love that. A lot of our leaders are in this altar. I love that. Mindset. Get your mind right. Get your mind right. I want to talk to parents of kids who have been given all kinds of disorders, defiant disorder, and ADHD and ADD, and we know the enemy loves to attack our young people with those, but I'm here to tell you that's a mind issue. God's going to deal with the mind, the monsters, the demons. God deals with them when we get our mind on Jesus. We begin to worship and begin to press in. If you're in this house today, I'm getting ready to step off this platform and pray the prayer of a